It's time to pick that lawn up by the bootstraps with a healthy dose of Rosie on the House. Get all the advice you could want from the Harper Nursery Boys by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Every Saturday morning, we're here to take your calls. We're going to go to Mesa, where our next two callers in line are from. If you'd like to join us, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Ron, tell us about your question.
Good morning, everybody. A couple questions. The first one is, we have just planted a citrus tree about 9-10 months ago, and it's seems to be doing fairly well. Got 3 lemons on it, but the leaves have started to turn yellow almost throughout. There is some green on it. Is there something that I need to do to turn them back to green, or is this just a normal evolution of them? And then I also have a spurge question.
Okay, well, how many yellow? Is it 10%? Well, is it 20? Is it
probably at least 50%+.
Okay. Well, it could be some yellowing of foliage on especially subtropical things like citrus this time of year. We see it on sisus and other warm weather loving trees. They're going to lose a few leaves this time of year and get a little yellow look to them. But if you've got that much, I would almost suspect that you might be overwatering it.
Okay.
So, you know, if you've watered at all much in the last month or so, you're probably keeping it pretty wet. So maybe kind of test the soil, go out there and probe around, scratch around, see how moist the soil is, maybe get it dried out a bit. We're getting pretty close to citrus fertilizing time, which will help. It's in February.
Right.
To give it a fertilization. But right now, kind of watch your watering.
Okay. And then spurge, I mean, we have a major problem with spurge, and I have a beautiful rose bed that just gets overtaken by the spurge on the ground, you know, almost like a ground cover.
Yeah.
And I've used Roundup very sparingly around it because obviously I don't want to kill the roses, but it's, you know, spreading into our desert landscaping and stuff like that. And I've just been trying to pull it, but is there something stronger? Like I said, I used Roundup, and that almost doesn't seem to work. Almost seems like a fertilizer.
Well, the best way to control spurge is to prevent it. And that's to use a pre-emergent herbicide. For spurge, you'd want to time that probably in March or April, you know, because a spurge is generally a hot weather problem. Gets kind of worse as it gets hotter and more humid. It generally tends to diminish some right now or even go away in the cold weather. But use a pre-emergent herbicide, especially Dimension. Dimension specifically lists and controls spurge. And like I say, I would time it. It only lasts for about 3 to 6 months. So sometime in March would be the best application time for that.
Now, I've never heard us talk about this in the residential application. But my father-in-law, he works in agriculture. So we're talking thousands and thousands of acres. And they've got to treat, you know, I mean, you're a farmer not to grow weeds. You're there to grow your crop. So weed elimination is critical. They will just randomly change what they're using for weed control. So whatever's out there doesn't start building an immune system.
Sure.
Can that happen in a small application or residential? Should he just try a different brand?
Unlikely, but you know, there really is no reason to use Roundup on spurge, a broadleaf herbicide like a Weed Out with Q or 2,4-D type product, you know, Fertilo makes one called Weed Out is perfectly fine. Roundup is a non-selective, you know, it will kill anything that's green and growing. It doesn't affect the soil. It has to be absorbed through the foliage, so that part of it's fine. But really, quite frankly, spurge is so full of seed from the time it comes up and starts growing. Even if you're killing the existing plants, there's just more seed falling to the ground, and it's just, you know, it's just reproducing itself.
I'll tell you, we finally beat the spurge outbreak in our lawn last year with a good freeze. It just kind of, like you say, in the cold weather, really retracted, almost disappeared. And, man, I hit it with a pre-emergent. I think I hit it in February, and then I hit it again in April. Okay. And I was spurge-free right up until the very end of the summer. And the birds are going to bring it in eventually.
Yeah, and the birds love the seed, and they spread it. Man. You can see the birds out there picking at it all the time. And
but I think if the caller just prayed for a good hard freeze and started treating some pre-emergent at that point, he'd probably see more progress come the spring and the summer than anything else he could do.
Yep.
Other than hand picking it, but then you still got the seed.
And it's almost impossible to pull it without scattering the seeds. In fact, the recommended removal for spurge is to get a garbage bag, a plastic bag, and pull it directly into the bag.
That's how I want to spend my weekend.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, but on your hands and knees with a plastic bag.
Ron, we appreciate the call. Let's move to David, who wants to talk pecans. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I can't find a pecan tree at any nursery.
Yeah.
They're hard.
Well, the problem that we nursery folk have with pecans is trying to bring them in bare root and sell them to you bare root. The success rate is so small that, you know, you get about one in every four or five to live, so you're constantly replacing them for people. They have a very long root. They don't make a good container to bring them in and pot them up. You have to almost custom build your own container to put them in, to sell them then. And you have to hold them for a couple of years to let them get rooted and established. And the state of Arizona will not let us bring containerized pecans in from growers that are growing them that way in New Mexico. So we're kind of stuck. There are a few guys doing it. I think Elgin is containerizing some pecans.
It won't be ready for a few years, so you'll have to wait there. I'll tell you, even after it's been contained a few years, it's still going to be a few more years after you plant it before it ever starts producing pecans.
Well, everybody knows that. It's a 7 to 10 year process to get nuts, and that's just the way it is. But it's just one of those trees that, gosh, it's become very difficult to find them, and that's why.
So here's two calls you can make, David. Elgin Nursery and Tree Farm, which is on 86th Avenue in McDowell, and the kind of like right off of I-10, real easy to get to. And then in Apache Junction, the Tropical Mango Nursery, uh-huh. Alex has brought in some pecan trees in the past that were bare root. And he brought in like 5 or 6 last spring, so I don't know if he's doing that again, but try Tropic
there
Mango.
You go.
But definitely Elgin in a few years. Appreciate the call.
Oh. It's worth the effort, though. Do you need, can one pecan tree fruit and blossom and fertilize itself?
They have self-fertile varieties, yes.
Because I think, being from the South and a pecan connoisseur, you can't buy a good pecan. Just like you cannot buy a good tomato.
There you go.
You got to grow it.
I mean, you pick the pecan shell up off the ground when it recently fell off the tree, and you crack that baby, and you dive into it, and there's just nothing better than a fresh pecan.
They're the oils, they dry out, you know, the longer they sit, that sort of thing. Sure, absolutely.
Oh, man.
You just got to make sure. The other thing is, most yards these days are too small for a pecan.
Yeah, they are big.
They get back to our landscape planning. Know how big they get before you plant one. They get big.
Great point.
Now, if you don't want to wait 7 years and you feel like a nice drive in Camp Verde, Summer Place Pecan Farm, you can get them unshelled off the ground right from...
Pick your own, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Can. Or you can buy them shelled. And then they've got a gift store that has a bunch of great pecan products in there.
There's an Arizona staycation,
yep,
right there.
And you know, they have a bed and breakfast, a gorgeous bed and breakfast that overlooks a big lawn. And I mean, you can't see the river because of the foliage, but you can hear the water.
Nice.
Of the Verde. It's
nice.
A gorgeous place. Summer Place Pecan Farm. So there's a resource for you until you get it in the ground, David. A couple weeks ago, we had a gentleman that joined us in studio from the Arizona Community Tree Council. And he was saying pecans need, for the first year of their life, 10 gallons of water per day.
Okay.
And then year two, 20 gallons a day. Year three. Is that when they're dormant too?
No.
No. Okay.
No. That's when they have foliage and they're growing and transpiring moisture out,
okay,
the leaves. Yeah.
I just wanted to verify that. All ours have lost their leaves. I don't really don't think I need to be watering.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing right how much water big trees, cottonwoods, pecans. There's a creek in southern Arizona that in the summertime does not run. There's so many cottonwood trees. Now the leaves are off the cottonwood trees. It's got water running in it. And it's just strictly those trees are just sucking that water up as fast as it can go. And right now they're not. And the water then starts running again.
We're going to take Doug and Scott Steele before we go to Tucson to take Emilio. Doug, how can we help you, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning? This Christmas, my wife wanted a small tabletop tree. So I went to one of the big box stores and bought a little pine tree that was alive that's in a bucket, maybe 2 feet tall, I think, total, maybe a little taller. And I think it's called an Italian stone pine. And I'm just wondering if it's really feasible to transplant that out here, up in the northeast Scottsdale area, and how to take care of it.
Italian stone pines will grow here. In fact, there's some stone pines about 56th Street in Shea, it's an old model home complex there that there was some stone pines planted there. It will work. They get pretty big, get pretty spready. They make a little bit more of a rounded top pine tree, 25 to 40 foot spread at the base when they're mature. So make sure you plant it in a spot where you got room for it.
Appreciate the call. Let's run to Tucson, bring in Emilio and Jim, both calling from the old adobe. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Am I on?
You are. Go ahead.
Okay. I've got two questions, really. I call them China berries. They're little, look like marbles.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, I've got, they're pretty good shade, but is it time to prune now?
Great question. Deciduous tree. China berry is a deciduous tree. It's called a Texas umbrella. Loses its leaves in the wintertime, if we're talking about the same tree. And once those leaves come off, like any deciduous tree, it's time to start pruning. So, good time to do it.
All right, let's see if we can sneak Jim in real quick. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Rosie. Jim Wheeler in Tucson. I have an oleander tree we planted about 8 years ago in our front yard, 28-inch circumference on the trunk. And what is the time of year to trim that, because it's getting very, very top heavy?
Well, you'd want to trim oleanders and most warm weather loving spring blooming plants sometime probably in mid to late February or early March would be the best time to trim that.
And when he said oleander tree, that's just, it was shaped that
oleander
way.
Trees are an oleander bush that from a small start was selected to have one trunk and staked up and pruned and trained up to be in a tree form. Yes, that's correct. So it's a full-sized oleander bush that has one
been
stem
trimmed
and
as
been
a tree.
Trimmed as a tree.
We appreciate the call, Jim. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you, do you have a New Year's resolution in your landscape? I mean, it's beautiful. What else do you have to add?
I had to move some lawn because I had some got too shady in a corner, so I reconfigured my lawn a little bit. So I got to get that replanted, and I've got some open space. I got some places I can plant something again.